Yesterday's prophecies, today's headlines. This is the Hal Lindsey Report. And now, Hal Lindsey.
Good evening, and welcome to this edition of the Hal Lindsey Report and the first week of summer. Last week, America's political war of words turned violent. A left-wing Bernie Sanders supporter attacked a group of Republican congressmen. He did it simply because they were Republicans. The lawmakers were practicing for the annual congressional baseball game for charity. Democrats practiced a few miles away. A little after 7 a.m., the 66-year-old gunman, James Hodgkinson of Illinois, made certain that these were Republican lawmakers. Then he got his gun returned to the practice field and opened fire. One of the shots hit Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana in the hip. It did extensive damage. Dr. Jack Sava at the MedStar Washington Hospital Center reported, "I would say that when he arrived, he was in critical condition with an imminent risk of death." Sava said that the bullet traveled across the pelvis, fracturing bones, injuring internal organs, and causing severe bleeding. Scalise has already had several operations and is scheduled for more. When I recorded this, he was still listed in serious condition. Matt Mika is a former congressional aide. He was hit multiple times. He's had at least two surgeries. His family said he suffered massive trauma and was lucky to be alive. He's expected to fully recover. Zach Barth is an aide to Representative Roger Williams of Texas. He was shot in the leg. Representative Steve Scalise is a Republican majority whip because he is the third-ranking Republican in the House the Capitol Police assigned to protection detail to him. Their presence saved many lives. Shortly after Hodgkinson opened fire, Officer Crystal Griner and David Bailey rushed into the field to confront him. That gave the congressmen and their aides time to scramble for cover, but they were fenced in and could not leave the field. If no one had been there to return fire, the shooter would have moved from person to person, killing at will. A third Capitol Police officer, Henry Cabrera, also challenged the shooter. They finally stopped him by killing him. We can say that Hodgkinson was a lone fanatic, but there's more to it than that. American political rhetoric has reached the boiling point. For instance, members of mainstream media repeatedly compared Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. They might as well issue an order to kill. Comparing Trump to Hitler incites violence. The New York Times did it in a book review and in an editorial. The Washington Post did it in five separate op-eds. CNN's Dana Bash did it. And MSNBC's Rachel Maddow did it. Her show was the shooter's favorite. Those are just a few instances of the Hitler comparison. When you equate the U.S. president with a man most people consider to be evil incarnate, you're justifying violence. You make it seem like he, along with anyone supporting any part of this agenda, should be eliminated at all costs. You make it seem like the security of the whole world is at stake. In a column last week for HalLindsey.com, I wrote, "For a moment on Wednesday morning, it all changed. The vitriol died." I wrote about the amazing level of goodwill that developed between congressional Democrats and Republicans after the shooting. But I was correct to say, for a moment. Shortly after the shooting, the ugly underbelly of America's new politics showed itself again. A longtime Democrat operative in Union County, New Jersey, tweeted, "We are in a war with selfish, foolish, and narcissistic rich people. Why is it a shock when things turn violent?" Hashtag hunt Republican congressman. In the context of the shooting, there's only one way to interpret the hashtag hunt Republican congressman. He's calling for more physical violence against Republican leaders. He's calling for political assassinations. Later, he added the hashtag hunt Republicans. So now he wants to hunt down half the country. Did he really mean that? Apparently so. Responding to the uproar over his tweet, the Democratic operative said in a radio interview, "I'm not apologizing if it offended snowflake Republicans." When someone calls for the physical destruction of his political enemies, he's calling for the end of constitutional government. That doesn't offend just snowflakes. It offends anyone with common sense. Since the attack, lawmakers of both parties have received horrible threats against themselves and their families. North Dakota Republican Kevin Cramer said, "We've all been under this cloud for a while of aggressive social media and threat assessment and thinking about families and whatnot and just trying to determine, is it even worth it?" He quickly answered his own question by saying, "Of course it is." But for a politician to publicly ask that question shows the level of concern. The Capitol building itself is well guarded, but only top congressional leaders receive protection everywhere else. In effect, this makes most members of Congress soft targets. On their way to and from work, at restaurants and in their own homes, the Associated Press reports that Republican Representative Ann Wagner of Missouri received 5 death threats this spring and watched children in her suburban St. Louis neighborhood scrub away chalk outlines of dead bodies that had been drawn on the driveway of her home. Florida Representative Ron DeSantis told reporters that Republican members of Congress received death threats as a matter of routine. He said, "Even my 6.5-month-old daughter, people called into the office or write an anonymous letter saying that they would like her to die."
Hal Lindsey is pleased to present his latest teaching series, God's Outline of History. In this set of 13 audio compact discs, Hal Lindsey will guide you on a scriptural journey from the Garden of Eden to the Millennium and Last Judgment. You will learn how God views events here on earth. You can receive this informative and inspiring series of 13 audio CDs for only $49.99 plus shipping and handling. Order God's Outline of History by writing to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also order online at hallindsey.com or by phoning toll-free 1-888-RAPTURE. Order God's Outline of History today.
Joss Whedon is the director of the enormously popular Avengers movies. He's an angry, belligerent atheist. In January, he sent out a tweet so perverted that I can't even start to repeat it here. Suffice it to say, he wished a horrible, sexual, violent death upon House Speaker Paul Ryan because it's funny. He's considered one of the hottest directors in Hollywood. Leah DeLaria is a star of Orange is the New Black. She advocates using baseball bats to kill all Republicans. Someone might say that she's just joking. Maybe so, but does that make it okay? Who would consider it funny to brutally beat people to death? Using graphic terms, rapper Azealia Banks said that Sarah Palin should be raped. Last week in Central Park, New York Public Theater ended its run of Julius Caesar. The play featured what critics have begun to call assassination pornography. In this case, that means the assassination of Donald Trump lookalike. The theater organization says it does not advocate political violence. Perhaps not, but witnesses to the play say that every night as the Trump figure died, the crowd erupted in joyful applause. Fareed Zachariah of CNN called the play brilliantly interpreted, a masterpiece. To their credit, Bank of America and Delta Airlines dropped their sponsorship of the event. Many on the left are now calling for boycotts, those companies. But Time Warner, the parent company of CNN, decided to continue sponsoring the events even after the shooting of the congressman. When critics speak of assassination pornography, they're referring to fantasy depictions of assassination. Rapper Snoop Dogg created a video featuring the hero murdering a Donald Trump lookalike. Comedian Kathy Griffin presented a performance art photograph of her holding the president's severed head, ISIS style. The University of Alaska now displays mural showing a Captain America figure in a ISIS-style pose holding Donald Trump's severed head. Jesus said, "The coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah." One of the things that characterized those days was violence. Genesis 6:11 says, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence." Today, the decades of relentless, twisted violence and entertainment has taken its toll on human souls. It's not enough to disagree and to discuss. Many now feel compelled to riot, attack, and kill. Another sign of the end times is an increase in the persecution of Christians. We now see extraordinary levels of persecution in the Middle East, but we also see significant persecution in places where we once thought it could not happen. Canada recently enacted Bill 89. This new law empowers the government to take a child away from parents who do not agree that their child is transgender. Jack Fonseca with the Campaign Life Coalition said, "With the passage of Bill 89, we've entered an era of totalitarian power by the state such as never witnessed before in Canada's history." Make no mistake, Bill 89 is a grave threat to Christians and all people of faith. This bill certainly is just the beginning. How long will it be before California makes the same move? In the United Kingdom, it seems to now be impossible to be both a politician and an evangelical Christian. Christianity Today reports, amid mounting scrutiny over his evangelical faith, the head of the Liberal Democrats in the United Kingdom resigned from his position. When he resigned, Tim Farron said, "To be a political leader and to live as a committed Christian, to hold faithfully to the Bible's teaching has felt impossible for me." Last year, Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders came close to becoming the presidential candidate of the Democratic Party. He's especially popular among the young. Last week, Sanders declared government off limits to Christians. According to his vision for America, anyone who believes the Bible must not be allowed to hold a high government position. President Trump recently nominated Russell Vought to be the deputy director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. Vaught once wrote an article defending the historic Christian beliefs of his alma mater, Wheaton College. During Vaught's confirmation hearing, Sanders read from the article, "Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned." Sanders called Vaught's faith an example of racism and bigotry. In America, Muslims are free to believe as they choose, but are Christians? In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Christians who believe the Bible believe that without Jesus, all human beings stand condemned. That's what most of the signers of the Declaration of Independence believed. That's what most of the signers of the Constitution believe. It's not a novel or fringe teaching. It is central to the Christian faith. I am troubled by Bernie Sanders' lack of belief, but I do not think that his lack of belief should preclude him from holding federal office. In fact, Article 6, Section 3 of the Constitution bans this use of religious tests. It says, "No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States." Sanders disagreed. He told CNN's Jake Tapper that Vaught is free to hold any religious belief he wants. However, if he thinks Islam is a second-class religion, he must not be allowed to hold a high position in government. Islam and Christianity present mutually exclusive doctrines. If one is true, then the other is not. If the gospel is true, then Islam has to be second class. Both Christians and Muslims believe in the superiority of their religion. Sanders says, if you believe that, you cannot hold high office. In truth, even atheists prefer their ideas on religious faith to that of others. Atheists see Christianity and Islam as second class. Is Senator Sanders now going to say that atheists are not allowed to hold high office? At one point in his questioning of Vaught, Sanders became very interested in the Christian doctrine about who makes it to heaven. He said, "In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?" Vaught answered, "As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect regardless of their religious beliefs. I believe that as a Christian, that's how I should treat all individuals." At that point, Sanders interrupted him. But Vaught's point is critical. It should be legitimate for Sanders to ask if Vaught's view of Islam would cause him to treat Muslims as second-class citizens or to disrespect them. But all Christians believe in the significance and dignity of all. We believe humans were made in the image of God. We believe that Christ loves each one so much that he sacrificed himself on the cross for all our sins. Our view of humanity is based on the unchanging truth of God's word. It is not a passing fad or political correctness. Sanders concluded, "I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who this country is supposed to be about." By Senator Sanders' religious test, some of America's greatest heroes would not have been allowed to hold public office, starting with George Washington. Dr. Robert Jeffress of the First Baptist Church in Dallas called on Sanders to either apologize or resign. He said, Senator Bernie Sanders in declaring his intention to vote against Russell Vought because of his evangelical Christian faith has not only launched a direct attack against the Constitution by applying a religious test, he has also attacked tens of millions of evangelicals who embrace the same historical Christian beliefs as Vought. This is persecution for naming the name of Jesus, just as Jesus himself repeatedly warned. Folks, that time is here.
This may be our greatest opportunity, maybe even our last opportunity, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ before we're silenced by political correctness. The message that God has given me is more important now than it's ever been, for the church and for the nation. That's why I'm asking you to help me to expand our reach.
To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.
And thanks for being a vital part of my team.
God calls the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob his chosen people. Does that make the rest of us second class? God did not choose the Jews because they are clever, tough, moral, smart, or hardworking. Like all groups, they are a mixture of qualities, both good and bad. But they are set apart as people because God made a covenant with their forebear, Abraham. Jews got the benefit of an amazing heritage from people like Moses, David, and the prophets. But because of that, God holds them to a high standard. Jesus said, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required." God told Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The Lord has used his people to bless the families of the earth in many ways. First, he used them to bring his word into the world. They became a people of prophets. He also used them to preserve his word. For centuries, holy men of Israel gave their whole lives to copying, studying, and interpreting his word. The third reason God called the Jewish nation into existence was so that they could be witnesses. A darkened pagan world needed to know that there is only one true God, a God of light and life who loves mankind and wants us to be reconciled to him. The fourth reason for Israel's continued miraculous existence is the most amazing of all. The Jews would be the ethnic people through whom the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would be born. Yet, the Jews rejected him. Why couldn't they see the truth? Of course, thousands of Jews did proclaim Jesus as their Messiah. They became new men and women as they followed Jesus and his teaching. But why didn't the religious leaders give Jesus their support? One word sums up the Judaism of Jesus' day: tradition. Remember the song with that title from Fiddler on the Roof? The idea behind that song has been holding sway over Judaism since the time of their last prophet, Malachi, about 400 years before Christ. Tradition about God, tradition about his laws, tradition about how to live, eat, work, worship, marry, and even die. Tradition isn't all bad. It helped preserve Israel as a continuous nation for 4,000 years. They found themselves in a variety of cultures and sometimes in bondage, but their changing situation did not upset the flow of their daily lives and worship. Those things were always set out for them by tradition. The prophets gave a twofold picture of Messiah. He would come as a conquering king restoring the Jews to their land and reigning in peace over the whole world. Tradition embraced that glorious image of Messiah, but Scripture also depicted the Messiah as humble and suffering. It said he would bear the sins of the people and make atonement for them before God. Tradition did not envision the Messiah coming first as the suffering servant to bear our sins, then returning as a conquering king. But that was God's plan all along. At his first coming, Jesus paid the price to redeem us from our sins. That means we as individuals can have his great peace and redemption right now. And it is so simple. Wherever you are, just acknowledge and confess to God that you know that you have sinned and can never qualify for heaven. Then believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died in your place to pay the penalty you owed for sin. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you of your sins and accept the sacrifice Jesus made for you. Then simply believe that he has accepted Christ's death in your place and that he has forgiven you. Now thank him for forgiving you and accepting you into his forever family. Congratulations, you have just changed your eternal destiny, and you are now a child of the living God. Well, that's it for tonight, folks. I'm praying that you will have a blessed and enjoyable summer. God willing, I'll see you next week.
You've been watching the Hal Lindsey Report. To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.